Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Hey everybody, welcome to Unlocking the Magic. You're listening to episode number 425. I am your host, Connie, and myself along with my awesome co-host Bruce are here to unlock some Disney adventures for you today. A little bit of an escape from wherever you are.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Were you going to say I am your ghost host?
I was going to say you're a ghost host. I really need to rehearse my intro. It's about time. 425 episodes in, it's time I take this to a more professional level.
It is so funny the fact that we still have, we've done 400 plus episodes, not even counting live shows or Inside Club UTM, which is probably like 500 or 600. In the intro, still flusters you a little bit every time.
Still a hot mess. Still rookies. What can I say?
Listen, that's what it is. It's all right, though. Listen, as long as you do the, hey, everybody, that's what everybody connects with, and it makes them realize that they're listening to Unlocking the Magic.
Okay, so save that tone.
Yeah, just keep doing that. You're good to go.
Okay.
There we go. What are we talking about today on the podcast?
So today we're talking about my favorite park, our favorite park, Disneyland. We're going all the way over to the West Coast today to talk about things that we think you should definitely do and things that you should definitely not do inside Disneyland.
Disneyland has become my favorite place to visit. It's one of my, if not my favorite park, whether that be the Disneyland Hotel, California Adventure even, and Disneyland Park. The whole part of California has a special place in my heart. I haven't been there as much as I've been in Disney World, but I've been there quite a bit. And every time I go, I feel like it's my first visit. I get so excited.
Yeah. Yeah. I have had so many people reach out to us and just thank us for just talking about Disneyland recently, just because it is a park that can be a little confusing because it's not as talked about, I think widely talked about, as the Disney World Resort is. So when it comes to planning, when it comes to where to stay, etc., people don't necessarily know and what to do there, right? It is a much smaller park, but I think that you definitely have to go into it knowing what to skip or what to do it in order to have a great day.
I think people, when they hear about Disneyland, they think about two things. Everybody says, oh, there's no bubble in Disneyland compared to Disney World. And then they also say Disneyland is much smaller. Both things are true, but if you stay on Disneyland property, there is kind of a bubble. Downtown Disney is right there. The Disneyland Hotel, the Grand Californian Hotel is right there.
And then pronounced it right.
I know, I did it. Are you proud of me?
Yes.
And then the two parks are right there as well, which make it really convenient. And that's your bubble.
So that is your bubble, yeah.
There are good neighbor hotels, and maybe we'll do a podcast or a YouTube video in the future about our preferred good neighbor hotels.
Because there are quite a few.
Yeah, there's tons. Yeah. But if you do stay on Disney property in Disneyland, you are in a Disney bubble. And you do feel that bubble. There's not four parks and no water parks. But there's still a great two parks that you can get a lot of fun times with your family in multiple days by going to those parks, even though they are technically smaller than what you'd get in Disney World.
It's supposed to be, it's the happiest place on earth. So you got to go into it with that in mind. I think whether you're seeking adventure, nostalgia, if you're a huge Walt Disney fan, you're going to love it there. Or just take a break from the ordinary. Like if you're used to Walt Disney World so much, I think going to that other side of the country and experiencing the weather, the atmosphere, it's definitely worth a visit.
You know what I want to do on this podcast? I want to convince people who are on the fence, right? Maybe you've been to Disney World many times and you've said, you know what? Maybe I should visit Disneyland. At one point in my life, I want to convert those people in this podcast to finally take the leap and take your first visit to Disneyland, or maybe your second. If you've gone and you're like, you know what? This is a time in the future I need to get back there.
I thought you were going to say it's a plug for our Adventures by Disney.
Oh, because that too.
We have that too coming up. We're doing a whole Adventures by Disney, Disneyland Resort and Southern California Escape. That's in April. We're really excited about that. So if you want to wait and go with us on that trip, that's going to be fun. That's exclusive UTM. It's going to be a really fun group of people. There is some room available, but it's exclusive for us right now. So we really want to make sure that we We're going to have so much fun.
That's going to be fun too, because it's a small group of people and you get VIP access to Disneyland and California Adventure. You get to stay at the Grand Californian, and then you also get to go check out the Disney archives and the Disney studios, which I'm super excited to go see. So if you want to get in on that, go to unlockingthemagic.com/ABD. That'll take you to the page where you can fill out a little bit of information. And if you want to go with us, we would love to have you.
So much fun.
It's going to be fun. I'm excited for that. But if that's your first trip to Disneyland, what a great first trip to Disneyland.
That's true. That's why I thought that's where you were going with it, because I know that we wanted to talk about our adventure coming up, and it just kind of goes hand in hand. But yeah, if you want to wait for us and go along, that would be an epic visit, because you get exclusive access to the park. You've got a lot of VIP. I mean, and you get to even eat at Walt Disney's famed restaurant, one of his favorites. So, I mean, there's just a lot of nostalgia happening. So if you're a Walt Disney fan, I think that will be really fun for you. But going to the episode today about the do's and don'ts, I have a big list of do's, not so much so many don'ts, but I think it depends on your travel style as well. So we'll mention all of them. And
I think the don'ts too are more kind of be cautious about these. It's not like there's nothing that you shouldn't do. It's more like these are kind of tips for you to get going and maybe have a better trip going to Disneyland, especially if you are like us and you were Disney World natives.
Very true. Well, let's start off things with a positive note and talk about all the must-dos that you have to do in Disneyland. And this is going to be so much fun to talk about.
All right.
So starting things off with do stop to admire Walt Disney's apartment over at the fire station.
Maybe even take a tour if you want. There are private tours available where they give you a little history of Main Street and then you get to go into Walt's apartment. But definitely take a couple seconds as you walk into Disneyland. Look over to the left, you're going to see a firehouse. Above the firehouse, you're going to see a lantern with the light on. That signifies that Disney is in the building.
He's in spirit. There. Right.
And that's his apartment. And he used to look over Disneyland and kind of see how everything was going. He would go have meetings there. He would bring his family there. That's kind of the place to hang out for Walt Disney when he was in the Disneyland park.
So you can definitely do that. Make sure that, I mean, you don't have to go inside a tour. That's an extra added expense. But if you just remember to stop over there and just admire it, maybe take a photo. Just don't be too awkward, right? I think that was...
No, be awkward.
I failed at that a few times. Okay, never mind. Just do what I did and be super awkward for the first few visits. But honestly, it's just a really emotional experience being able to see that lamp on and know and what it means and signifies. It's really an emotional thing, and it will definitely take your eyes away from, I guess, how small you're going to find Sleeping Beauty Castle to be from a distance. When you're in Town Square, you're going to look over and go, that's it. But trust me, it gets better. Give it a chance.
Listen, sometimes great things come in small packages. That's what they say, isn't it?
I think, that they do say that. And also, I think with the Sleeping Beauty Castle, it gives you that appearance of like, yeah, you know, it's very small, but maybe that's smart. It's kind of Walt Disney's way of saying, hey, see that castle over there? Low expectations. But when you come over here, guess what? You're going to be impressed.
Yeah, I was impressed. Because,
like, when you get to go inside and see everything inside, it's pretty spectacular.
You know, being able to walk through the castle too is another thing that is a bonus. Even though the castle's small, you still get to experience something
that you can go
in the castle with.
Yep. All right, next do. And this, we stumbled by accident. I think just the attraction itself we have to do. But I know, Bruce, you added something to do while on the attraction.
What's that?
And it's do take the Disneyland Railroad, the train, around the park, but with what?
With beignets and a coffee.
That's it.
You know, any attraction that allows you to bring food and beverages on the attraction itself is a bonus, in my opinion. I'll take it just for that reason. But we did this first thing in the morning. Everybody's kind of running to Galaxy's Edge and trying to get on Rise of the Resistance, and we just got some beignets and a coffee and we went around that Walt Disney Railroad and was like, wow, this is amazing. What a great morning to spend, especially if you are in Disneyland for multiple days, taking one of your mornings and just grabbing some beignets, fresh made Mickey shaped beignets and a cup of coffee and hopping on the railroad. Can't beat it.
The Disneyland Railroad is, I think, a must-do attraction. It's different than the Walt Disney World version. The diorama is really cool. You get to go inside and see some special effects, which I find to be really entertaining. And it's relaxing and entertaining, but definitely if you get the bonus of bringing some beignets on with you, it just, you know, it enhances the experience. Having a snack and attraction is the best thing.
I like, too, that you can sit my preferred, I didn't like it at first, but I do prefer where you sit facing the parks. So you're not necessarily facing the front of the train. You're facing the interior of the park. And you can sit there and enjoy, you can almost people watch as you're on the train enjoying your beignets instead of just looking forward straight ahead with your, because everybody looks to the right anyway.
That's true.
And then you got to like have a sore neck.
Yeah.
I'd rather get a sore neck in Space Mountain than on the Walt Disney Railroad.
Yeah. Well, Disneyland Railroad.
Disneyland Railroad. That's what I mean.
Yeah. But I know, I see what you mean. And it took a while for me because they have both, it took a while for me to get used to sitting and staring at the park from that, from like the stadium seating, if you will. And I didn't know if I loved it, but I actually do. And I get it. It's why they do it so that you could see all the attractions as you're going around the Rivers of America, or if you're going through and seeing the prehistoric dinosaurs, which is my favorite part.
That
I love
it.
It makes me think of Animal Kingdom and Dino Land. I love dinosaurs, so I loved it so much. But yes, a must do. Definitely make sure you find the time to do that. Doesn't have to be first thing, but definitely find the time to do that.
Especially if you're like me and you didn't want to do it.
Yeah, even better.
Kind of forced to do it, and I enjoyed it anyway. So you will enjoy it. Just go for it. It's not a thrilling thing, but it's definitely immerses you in the history of Disney and because he loved railroads, right? So that's what you're in Disneyland for.
Yep. All right. Next one is just a strategy, but it's hit Fantasyland first thing in the morning. That is a benefit, especially if you're staying on property. You get to have that time where you can go to pretty much empty park and do a lot of the attractions first thing. But even if you're not staying on property, it's still very wise to go to Fantasyland first thing in the morning. That's where you'll find a lot of the classic attractions. The queues aren't necessarily the best, so waiting in line can be kind of boring. So I definitely recommend going there first.
Yeah, plus if you get Genie Plus, which everybody kind of doesn't want to do, but if you do get it, you can use your Genie Plus for those major thrilling attractions, and you can get the Fantasyland. I don't want to say get Fantasyland out of the way because you never really want to get it out of the way.
Just
but you want to do it.
Be honest.
And you want to get it out of the way.
You just take one for the team. Happy wife, happy life.
You don't necessarily want to get it out of the way, but what you do want to do is you want to be able to enjoy it, right?
So yeah.
You want to be, I want to go on Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, but I don't want to go on Mr. Toad's Wild Ride as a large man with a 35-minute wait in that tiny queue.
Yeah, the queue is very, very narrow. So that's one thing to note in Disneyland. Just remember, tiny, tiny queues.
So you know, Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
Snow White.
Mr. All of Toad's that.
Wild Ride. I'm going on all of that. But I'm going first thing in the morning because then I can go take my time and go on Space Mountain and Big Thunder after.
Fantasyland and Disneyland is actually my favorite land. So that is a place that I could spend a lot of time in. Bruce definitely, you know, has to drag me out of there at certain points because I can truly spend. I talk a lot about Walt Disney World and how much I love Tomorrowland. And the similar thing happens in Walt Disney World with me in Tomorrowland. I can spend all day there. Same thing with Fantasyland.
Exactly. I think that's the difference. Like in Disney World, you spend a lot of your time in Tomorrowland. In Disneyland, you're spending a lot of your time in Fantasyland. Mm-hmm. Because Tomorrowland and Disneyland, let's face it, it ain't great.
Well, this leads me to my next one, which is do make time to ride the original, the OG Disneyland rides. And that includes a lot in Fantasyland, right?
You know what I put? This is my thing is compare them.
Compare them.
Do the comparison. Compare the attractions. And, you know, you do want to do things when you go to Disneyland that you're not able to do in Disney World. But sometimes it's fun to, maybe your favorite ride is Pirates in Disney World or Haunted Mansion in Disney World. Compare the two and say, you know what? I like this part of the one in Disneyland. But you know what? I like that part of the one in Disney World. You'll notice the subtle difference of the rides. And I like comparing the two every time I go on. One time we did go to Disneyland and Disney World relatively close together, and we really got to compare because we had it fresh in our minds.
That's true. We did a back-to-back. We were fortunate enough to do a back-to-back trip, and that was fun. But I just love how you went right to the next do. You didn't even let me finish my first
one. I thought that was the same one, no?
No, it's not, but it's fine. I know you were excited about that. It actually is one of the things that when we were putting this episode together, you said, that's exactly what people should do. If they go to Walt Disney World a lot and they want to go to Disneyland, they got to do this. It's funny because we say, oh, why would you ride the same rides that are in both parks? But the way Disneyland does it a little different will surprise you.
Here's some of my favorite ones that are in both parks that you can check out. Haunted Mansion obviously is in both parks. Pirates of the Caribbean, Space Mountain, Big Thunder Mountain, Jungle Cruise. Those are the ones that are the same but different, right? Like Star Tours is in both parks, but they're the same.
Yeah, so Star Wars, yeah. You could probably skip Galaxy's Edge in Disneyland, but definitely.
Ouch.
Well, not to say anything, but there's so many other attractions I think that you should do because, for example, even though Pirates of the Caribbean is similar, it's just the delivery in Disneyland is different, and I think you might enjoy it better. So it's worth going on.
Yeah, we're assuming that you're Disney World natives listening to this podcast. You're not a Disneyland native where you go all the time and you're like, I love Galaxy's Edge because that's where you go all the time. You don't get to go to Disney World a lot.
Right.
We're assuming that your destination for Disney is the world, right? And if that's the case, you can skip Galaxy's Edge. Do other things in Disneyland because Galaxy's Edge is the exact same as it is in Disney World.
So back to the time for the original Disneyland rides. I just want to mention a few that you don't find in Walt Disney World. So there's Casey Jr. Circus Train, where you go through a miniaturized fairy tale.
Say what now?
Casey Jr. Circus Train.
That's hard to say. Say that five times fast.
Disney does a really fun job of making these tongue twisters for us. I don't know. And it was our bright idea to do a podcast about Disney, so that's it's really our hard fault. To
say. Casey Jr. Circus Train.
Yes.
I could not say that five times fast if I had to.
Mm-hmm. So it's a little locomotive inspired by Dumbo and Walt Disney's love of trains. Super fun. Disneyland Railroad, I mean, you could find it at Walt Disney World, of course, but this is the actual train that Walt himself had hands on. And again, it is different.
He drove it.
He drove it.
Him driving it.
Never mind.
Disneyland.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I meant to say. So that's really important. Then you have Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, which used to be at Walt Disney World, but it's no longer. So we're just going to pretend it was never there.
I don't want to make Mr. Toad's Wild Ride seem like it's this amazing ride, but it's a fun, cute ride. Like if you have small children, or large children like us, it's fun. You get a little chuckle out of it. I know Connie's not going to love me saying that, but I'm sorry.
It's not amazing?
It's not amazing.
Are you kidding me?
I can't lie and say it's, like, amazing.
Where else are you going to go buckle up for a jolty joy ride? Speaking of tongue twisters. Gosh, Mr. Toad's Wild Ride might be my favorite ride in Disneyland. I don't know.
Why? Why is it your favorite ride?
I think it's unexpected. It's adorable. It's frogs. I don't know. It's just a cute, visually cute, it's scary, it's funny, it's spooky. There's just a lot that speaks to me, so okay. I really love it.
Listen, we don't judge on this show.
Okay.
But we do, a little bit, behind the scenes.
There's now, so again, some of these were at Walt Disney World, but this one here is Disneyland Now Only, Snow White's Enchanted Wish. So this was an original ride. It changed names several times, but it's still very beautiful, very nostalgic, dark ride that I think is definitely worth a visit. And then the
scary.
It is, well, not so much anymore, although the witch can be a little scary. I think they've toned it up a little bit to be a little bit more cheery, which I think might have been necessary, although, you know, you're talking to me, which I love all things kind of spooky and scary, and I introduced that to our kids at a very young age because I was like, kids, you have to like it because you live with me. So, I mean, you know, you're in, you're out.
Go on that first, then Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Yeah, obviously the Matterhorn. I love the Matterhorn. I know that there's some do's and don'ts when you go on the Matterhorn. I know that a lot of people have complained of back problems on there, but I feel like I've hacked into like how to ride. So I do this thing where I kind of lean forward instead of back. It helps me. Love that ride. I can go on multiple times. I think that was our last visit, we had a in-house argument in our family because I wanted to end our day on Matterhorn and I got voted out.
Where did we end our day instead of Matterhorn?
I can't remember, but
I like the Matterhorn as well. I think that's a great ride.
But you didn't want to end it on that note. You were probably afraid you were going to go back to the hotel with a sore back. So I got voted out.
It's quite possible that was the case.
And then Storybook Land canal boats. I mean, there's just so many different things. I'm not going to list them all, but a lot of just attractions that I think are a must visit in Disneyland and things that you can really go back and realize that Walt really had his hand on them. And it gives you a different sense of appreciation.
100%.
All right. This one is classic UTM. We're going to talk about must do eat all the food.
Disneyland has very well reputation about food.
Yeah. I mean, listen.
And I love all of it. And there's so many things at Disneyland that you don't get to have in Disney World as much. And I think I spent half my time in Disneyland just eating food.
I think Disneyland, the food is an attraction on its own. I think they do a really marvelous job of making the food accessible and something that you want and crave. I mean, whether it's something sweet like a Matterhorn macaroon or something savory like
chimichanga.
You just took the words out of my mouth. I was going to say hot and steamy.
Hot and steamy, baby.
That's really what they're called. I don't know why it hasn't caught on yet, but there you go. There are just so many options in Disneyland that you can really just walk around the whole park and just grab something and try something new and make it part of the park experience.
Yeah, one of the advantages Disneyland has over Disney World by only having two parks is they try to squeeze all those food options into two parks versus four.
Yeah.
So you get a ton of options when you go to Disneyland, like the beignets or the hot and steamy or the Matterhorn, like you said, or the restaurants that they have there. The Blue Bayou. There's so many restaurants and things to eat.
I'm so hungry right
Disneyland.
Now.
At Disneyland.
Yeah.
You could, if you wanted to, say you had 2 or 3 days in Disneyland, right? Just going to Disneyland Park, not California Adventure. You could spend an entire day without going on anything and just eating.
Just eating your way around the park.
Like, just eating and watching shows. You'd be totally satisfied.
I'm pretty sure we did a whole like morning through noon, afternoon doing just that. Like we literally, I think that was the day we started off with breakfast beignets on the Disneyland Railroad and it didn't stop there. And we just went all around the park and we went on the railroad, but like we really didn't plan on going anything else. We just wanted to eat.
And I think we got a beignet and a coffee. We went on the railroad, went all around the park, stopped at the main entrance again, and then got on the little car and went down Main Street.
Oh, yeah.
And then we got really a chimichanga. And then we got something else. I think we spent the whole day just kind of, the whole morning at least, just eating food. And it was fun. I had a great time.
I had a great time as well. And again, it is part of an attraction. The food is a part of the attraction, I think. We've talked about this many times, how Disneyland, the food to me is similar to the way I treat Epcot. Epcot, obviously, as you know, with all the countries, you want to go try everything. And the same happens to me in Disneyland. Calories don't count in Disneyland. You do a lot of walking. So, of course, and you know what? There's the other thing of it. It's not humid in California. So the food, it goes down a lot easier. And it just, I'm hungrier more often and I'm able to eat a lot more. So that happens. Whereas in Walt Disney World, it's humid, it's sticky. I don't always need to eat because I feel maybe like a little bloated or whatever.
We were there. Yeah. Our last visit to Disneyland, it was pretty cold and rainy. And it makes you feel like you're in winter here, right? In winter in New England, you kind of got to bulk up because you got to put on a little weight for the winter, make yourself a little bit warmer. I felt like that in Disneyland.
Do you think, I didn't add this, but I think I might want to talk about it. If it's your first visit to Disneyland, maybe do visit during certain seasons, certain months. So we like going in October, around there, or maybe it's worth a shot going after February, after the rainy season. So January can be, it was a really rainy this time of year, last year, but I think also it can be colder. So if you really want to maybe experience the weather in a warmer climate. It's dry, but it's a warmer climate. You might want to go on those types of seasons instead of January.
We have some agents too in Unlocking the Magic Travel that live in California and are Disneyland natives, and they kind of give us the best advice of when to go. They're like, during in California, these are the kind of the rainy times. This is the hot time. This is the perfect weather time. This is our favorite time to go.
Although the park clears out when it's rainy. It clears out and even when it was cold, it was kind of fun. I got to be honest. Like, it was the first time I got to wear sweatshirts in a theme park. And I really, I don't know, I felt cozy.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Don't knock it. Just know your style and your personality and what you want to get out of the experience, weather-wise, atmosphere-wise, so that you can plan accordingly.
That's important. The other advantage is if you are staying on Disneyland property is it's pretty close to the parks, right? So we went early in the morning, rope drop, right? Got there real quick. It was kind of rainy and cold. We left, and you can get back to your hotel room in about 15 minutes. Take a half an hour, 45-minute nap, get dried off, change your clothes, and then you can go back. You're all good to go.
I think a midday nap at Disneyland, it just hits perfectly.
Yeah, like, because Disney World's huge, so it takes like an hour.
It takes forever.
No matter what kind of transportation, even if you're in your car, no matter what transportation you have, getting from the park back to your resort, if you're on Disney property, and then getting back is a time consuming.
We're not big nappers when it comes to Walt Disney World, but Disneyland, I found myself wanting to squeeze in a nap. And
I think it has something to do with the time change too.
That's also true. I think that it takes a while. It's not a huge difference for us, but just enough to kind of throw us off here and there. But a little nap was welcome because you, by the time you walked to your resort and back, you didn't feel like you were missing out on anything. You didn't feel like you were taking time out of the park day and wasting money and dollars sleeping. Right. You know, so I definitely would put that on the do list for sure. Do nap. But that leads me to our next one, which you mentioned, but it's do stay on property. I think at least once if you can swing it. I know that it's obviously more pricey, but I definitely think it could be worth your while to really experience Disneyland in that immersive bubble that you might be looking for. If you don't mind that, if you're not, there are plenty of good neighbor hotels that we can share with you. I know Bruce said we could do a whole separate podcast or YouTube about all the good neighbors that we've stayed and that we've enjoyed. But there's something very special about staying on property that I think must be experienced by a Disney World fan.
Especially, maybe you can't swing it for your whole trip. Maybe do it for a night or two when you are planning to go to the parks in your visit or
leave the kids at home.
Sell some stuff in your house.
That's it.
Sell your TV. Cancel the cable.
Cancel everything except Club UTM.
Yeah, I'm sure there's stuff around your house. If you go around your house and look for things, I'm sure you could come up with enough for at least one night at Disneyland Hotel.
I agree. I think that you could definitely somehow, maybe, I don't know. Again, if you can't do it, it's fine. But if you're really looking for that immersive feeling, if you're really feeling that connection to Walt Disney and you're super used to the bubble that Walt Disney World has, you're going to love staying on property and it's going to feel different than a good neighbor hotel, which are fine, don't get me wrong, but you'll feel like you're in more of the city part of Anaheim versus the actual Disneyland resort.
Yeah, plus the transport, getting back and forth to the parks is really easy and convenient.
Yeah. All right. This one, I was so fortunate that our last visit, I got to see it for the very first time in Disneyland, and I was really, really emotional from it. I have this video that I took. Actually, parts of it, I was shaking the camera because I was getting choked up. It was just a beautiful tribute. And this one is, do watch the Daily Flag Retreat Ceremony. It's in Town Square. It is very special. It's been held since the park opened back in July 1955. It's a salute to the armed forces, as well as a nod to Walt and Roy's service during World War. But it's something that you might have read on the app or your park map and times, and you're thinking, oh well, I'll get to it if I can or whatever. I'm telling you, make this part of a priority. It's just really touching in Disneyland. I think you really feel Walt's presence there, and it's extra special.
The thing that got me when we were there watching this was the men and women who were either active duty or veterans that came up when they were saying the different categories of armed services, right? Like the Army or the Navy, and seeing the person who was in that. That's when it got me.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
They are recognizing these people who make this possible for us.
Right. It really gets you choked up and it's just extra special. Actually, the D23 did a whole article. I'll just share it right now. It talks about the flag retreat ceremony at Disneyland, and they did an interview with Disneyland Resort Security Officer John Nelson, who shares his experiences and reflections on this time-honored tradition. So he goes into explaining what is the flag retreat ceremony. So he says, the flag retreat ceremony honors former and current military personnel from all branches, and so our main goal is to perform the ceremony with honor and dignity. We first invite members from the individual branches to come up and stand next to the outer ring of the flagpole. Then, when the color guard arrives, we'll thank them by giving them a special salute. Then it is time for the retiring of the colors when the American flag is lowered and folded. The two main teams come together each day for the ceremony. The first is security, and we lower and fold the flag. But we also partner with entertainment for special performances by the Dapper Dans and the Disneyland Band, who perform patriotic melodies. Sometimes the Disneyland Resort All-American College Band even comes and plays with us. So we work together to put on an important moment for our guests to participate in. I just, I get, I don't know if you could hear my voice, but I get choked up just even discussing it because it's just super emotional and super powerful. So I definitely think you have to add that on your must do.
I agree. I was there. With you.
You were there.
I was there with you.
Were you there? You were there.
And it was fun. It was a great time. Yeah. I have a lot of respect for the people in the armed services, and I have friends who were in the Air Force, and it's amazing to see people who are recognized for their service to their country, because it's not easy to do that.
Right.
And it was nice to see, especially the older people, right, who are like the older generations of military people, and seeing them be recognized. They're really proud of the fact that they were in the military, and it was cool to see.
Well, I think it's time we talk about some don'ts.
All right,
let's do it. And these are strategies as well. But I definitely think, and again, these are our opinions, but I think maybe just hear them out and decide for yourself what works for you. Well, listen,
we're the crash test dummies of Disneyland visits, right?
So yeah, that's for sure.
This is what the mistakes that we made, and hopefully by listening to this podcast, you learn how to do the parks a little bit better, but you also don't make the mistakes that we made, and it helps you have even a better trip.
All right, first up is don't arrive late.
Which is hard if you are, it's easier if you're from the East Coast, right? Because you get up at 8 o'clock on.
We're going to do math on the show.
I'm going to try to figure it out. Okay. Here we go. So if you get up, like say you get up at 6 o'clock because you want to get to the park because it's early hours, right? You got to be there by 7. That's really 10 o'clock our time. So it's kind of easy to get up early over there the first couple days. It's hard to stay up late, but it's easy to get up early.
That's true. That might have been why we needed that nap.
I think that's what helps because, you know, it's 6 o'clock there. It's really 9. And I'm old and I need to go to bed.
Yeah. Older. Yeah, I agree. Well, I mean, truthfully, arriving at the park when it opens just allows you to really enjoy all the popular attractions with shorter lines. If you're going in the summer months, it's cooler temperatures, so that's a bonus. But I do find that this is the one park that I just have to be there at opening to really get maximize your experience, get the maximum out of your day.
Yeah, Disneyland is a very much locals park. So the first couple hours, if you want to try to get as much done as you possibly can, the first couple hours in Disneyland are vital for you to get there because they don't slow down at night.
They don't. They don't slow down. So I definitely need, I would say, or at least for myself, I need to get there early. I need to experience Fantasyland first thing. I need to be able to see some areas of the park with shorter lines.
Like the French Quarter. The French Quarter is amazing to see when there's nobody there.
Yeah. When you're going...
New Orleans Square.
When you're going to New Orleans Square and you're seeing it for the first time and it's really, really crowded because maybe you're going to Disneyland and it's a little later in the day... There's a lot of details that you will miss because of the crowds.
I got a lot of video the last time we were there of New Orleans Square with nobody in it. Just walking through the alleyways around the back to the train station, just seeing it empty.
Yeah.
And wanting to go up to Club 33 and kind of knock on the door.
Awkwardly.
See if anybody will let me in.
Your turn to be awkward. I'm awkward at the fire station. And you're awkward at Club 33.
I can picture it. So there was a Seinfeld episode where Kramer was like, did the reverse peephole. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like you can look out your apartment and see people and like people could see into his apartment from outside versus inside. And I can imagine like me sitting at the door and like there's just Disneyland cast members looking out at me like with the fish lens. Just seeing a sad me outside and being like, yep, you can't come in. I'm so sorry. You don't have a membership.
That's the guy that brings drinks on the People Mover, guys.
Yeah. Don't let him in here.
All right, next one. Don't rush through the park. And we talk about this at Walt Disney World a lot, but I really want to just make sure I reiterate this a lot because it's exciting when you're in Disneyland and you can find yourself kind of moving quickly because you're just excited. But I definitely think you need to just take your time to savor the moments, enjoy the ambiance, interact with the characters. I mean, that's what's so incredible about Disneyland is the characters just appear out of nowhere and all of a sudden it's a photo shoot.
You know what? Also, you need to study the map because... Get yourself a map because you're going to walk into Disneyland and you're going to think to yourself, I know where I'm doing.
Totally.
This is totally familiar to me.
So easy.
I know what I'm doing. And then you're going to walk through it. You'll be like, what am I doing?
I have no idea where I'm going.
And you're
going
to waste a lot of time trying to get your bearings. So just study the map because it's similar to Magic Kingdom, but it's not at the same time.
You're going to waste your phone battery because you're looking at the app so much trying to figure things out. So yeah, get yourself a simple map and don't be embarrassed about holding it out and looking. And I know the first few times I was kind of like, I don't want to stand out that I'm not local and I don't know what I'm doing, but it truly helps. It helps you find the experiences that you really need to experience and see. So it's really important. But again, don't rush through. Immerse yourself in the Disney experience and really be there. Be in the moment.
If you are going to use a map, though, pull over to the side.
Oh, sorry.
You know, Connie, I'm talking to you.
I know.
Don't open that map in the middle of the... That is embarrassing to us.
When, I know.
When you were with you and you pull out the map and you stop in the middle of the whole street.
I'm sorry.
Just pull over to the side.
Guilty. Look, it's sometimes you just get lost in the moments.
It's okay. But just remember, there's people behind you.
You're right.
And they know where they're going.
Yep.
And it's okay that you don't.
Right.
Until you bother them.
Right. Nope. Got it.
And then it's not okay.
Okay.
Now let's go to the next one.
Don't forget to research the history so you can really appreciate it once there. And I know that you, even like we said before, this might be geared to more of a Walt Disney World fan that's going to Disneyland for the first time. And maybe you're already excited because you know about Walt Disney, but really research it. I mean, there's so many books and so many different things that you can, and outlets, just to research like why this is there and why this attraction is so significant.
Yeah, like even like thinking about Imagineers, right? You research some Imagineers like Bob Gurr or Marty Sklar or Rolly Crump. They all had involvement in Disneyland. Mm. Like they were all around when Disney World was built, but they all were involved with Walt creating the attractions in the shows and Disneyland itself. So it's cool to go back and listen to those interviews. We did a couple.
Yeah.
And you can go back and listen to their experiences with Walt creating Disneyland.
It's not meant to be like a museum. Like you're not walking into a museum, if you will, but you're really just appreciating what went into creating this park and what makes it so special and why we are where we are today. And I think it just gives you a whole new level of appreciation as you're walking through, as you're seeing Sleeping Beauty Castle. There's just a lot.
It also makes you appreciate the attention to detail. We did a podcast about our visit to Walt's apartment. And on that tour, you can go listen to it. I'll link it up in the show notes. You can go back and listen to that podcast. But there was a part of it where they talked about this one small detail of just light bulbs somewhere. And there was a reason why a light bulb was half red, half white. And that attention to detail makes you understand and appreciate what everything is going on in the parks.
Agreed. And,
like I said, I'll link that up. You can go listen to it because we explained the whole thing in there.
All right. Next one. This is a failure of ours, so we're just going to remind ourselves about this.
All right.
Don't eat two hot and steamies back to back.
I still kind of want to break this rule.
Yeah, I know, me too.
I know I shouldn't because those hot and steamy.
We're talking about the chimichangas.
Yeah.
Bostonians like to say chimichangas,
chimichangas.
But we're moving on from
not
that.
Not only do Bostonians say chimichangas, but Anthony Bourdain.
He did say it. I know. It's hard, though. I know. I got it. I don't want to offend anybody. So
I agree. I want to say it the way it's supposed to be said, yeah. But listen, don't write me an email because I said chimichanga by accident.
Hot and steamies. That's just the way we're going to say it. And you know what? They're delicious and they're tempting to eat back to back. Just give yourself, especially for breakfast, if you decide to do that instead of a beignet, just pace yourself. That's all I'm going to say. Just chew.
Here's what you got to do. You got to eat your chimichanga, changa, whatever.
Yeah.
And then don't immediately go into the next one. Wait a couple minutes.
Just wait, even just 2 minutes.
Maybe you may regret it if you go too quick.
Just to have a sip of water. They're that delicious. Mm. I'm just literally drooling right now thinking about the next time I get to eat one of those yummy pockets of deliciousness.
I don't know. After doing this podcast, we're supposed to go to Disney World for our next trip. We may have to go to Disneyland.
I know. It's true.
We have to cancel all...
All plans.
All trips to Disney World and just go right to Disneyland.
Next up, don't ignore showtimes. This goes hand in hand with getting yourself familiar with the map or just the app itself, but just check that daily schedule for showtimes, parades, stage shows, musical performances. I mean, don't forget, this is what adds to your Disney experience overall. This is why you're paying what you're paying to be admitted into the park. Just don't forget about them.
Or if you're like me, utilize that time where people are going to the shows and the parades to go on do some attractions. Other
things.
That's me. That's just me.
Look, you can do it however, again, you can do it however you want, but I do think that there are some that should be seen. Right now in Disneyland, they have Tale of the Lion King. This is located in Fantasyland, and they claim it to be a roaring adaptation. Say that word 7 times. So I think it would be really cool to see. Obviously, we have something like this in Animal Kingdom in Walt Disney World. But being in Fantasyland, the environment's a little different. The air is different. It's definitely something that I think would be really neat to see. So just things like that you might miss if you don't check it out on the showtime itself.
Or maybe you do see the showtime and you accidentally on purpose miss out on it.
Or the Dapper Dans, like that's what you like to do to me when you're like, nope, Dapterans, they're not here today.
No, they're canceled.
They're not here.
Yeah, they canceled for the day. They got rained out.
They got rained out, but it's blue skies.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's all right. I understand.
No offense to the Dapper Dans. They're amazing. It just makes me uncomfortable.
And just don't ignore the show times. Like I said, you might be bummed to find out that they already were held and you missed it. And again, to me, that enhances the Disney experience overall.
Well, there you go.
All right. Don't miss Fantasmic. That is...
Oh, this is a good one.
This is a very special show, I think, to be seen in both sides of the country. Hollywood Studios does a fantastic job showcasing Fantasmic, but in Disneyland, it's just right in front of, like, you can almost feel like you can touch Mickey himself.
When that ship comes by, you almost feel like you're part of the show.
You really
do. Let me swing on that rope. I feel like I could do that.
Yeah. The characters just come to life. It is just an amazing array of live performers, just really cool projections, all these colors visually. It's just so beautiful and just so entertaining.
We had somebody on our Club UTM podcast that was part of that show.
I know.
Wasn't it fun to kind of hear the behind the scenes of the Fantasmic experience in Disneyland and
yes.
What it's like to be a performer?
We learned what it's like to be a performer, what it's like to help the performers, to really the behind the scenes stuff of what it takes to get them to.
It's like stressful. They like change their clothes. They got to make it. They have like a time because it's like timed. You don't have time to put your pants on backwards.
I know.
You got to make sure everything's on the right way and you're ready to go.
There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes and in front of you. And it just that gave me a whole new level of appreciation. I mean, I already was so in awe of this particular show because, again, just being on the rivers of America and seeing all these lights, like, it's just so in front of... Disneyland is very small and quaint, so every show, every performance just feels like it's in your backyard in a way, and it just very... It's just very powerful.
Shout out to Jared, by the way.
Yes, thank you. Maybe we can share some of that on our regular feed because I think it was just so much great information about the show. And I don't know, see if he'd be okay with it. Yeah, just ask him. But
Jared, send us a message if we can share that.
So this show is definitely something that you should do. Take the time to see it. Even if you've seen it in Walt Disney World at Hollywood Studios, I think you're going to love it. Right now, if you're listening to this show in 2023, it is currently paused until 2024. They're claiming they're doing some refurbishing. So it says, with the goal of delivering the best possible show for our guests, performances of Fantasmic are currently paused until spring 2024.
So I'm out.
Just keep that in the back of your mind. Maybe you won't visit until the spring of 2024, but it's definitely a must do.
I agree. And it's a little tight. So it's not the show you're going to see in Hollywood Studios where the seating is nice and you can bring snacks in there and you get your own seat and you got space. It's very not spacious and you're very squished in there.
Yeah. But that's part of the fun. I almost feel like it's like at a party, at a backyard party. Granted, it's Disneyland, but it's like that. The feeling is just.
Makes you feel like you're at a concert and you got to like squish up to the fence and everybody's kind of trying to get the front row.
But with all your best friends, because they're all Disney fans and they're there with you and they all have the same idea in mind and they're still super excited to see Mickey as the Sorcerer's Apprentice and all that unfolds in front of your eyes. So to me, it's really, really special in Disneyland. I love it. And then the last one here that I have is just simply don't forget to take breaks. I know that goes hand in hand with being in the moment, but also just really need to just keep in the back of your mind, even though Disneyland is small and you can tackle a lot, it's really important to just take scheduled breaks to recharge.
And you can take breaks with snacks.
Yeah.
Snack breaks. Hello.
Snack breaks on a bench. There's plenty of spots on Main Street that you can find, little nooks and crannies, just so many places that you will find that you can just take some time out, just 5-10 minutes even. Doesn't have to be 30 minutes or a long time, but it just really helps you maximize the day and recharge, reset, really.
It makes me realize where you are. Sometimes you take a break and you're like 5 minutes, you're like, wow, I'm in Disneyland.
Yeah.
I've thought about going to Disneyland my whole life, and now I'm finally here. Even as a kid, like when I was a kid, I didn't get to go to Disney World, but I was like, I said Disneyland, not Disney World.
I don't know
if it's because I saw it on TV and I saw all like the Disneyland and Walt Disney. It was just Disneyland was the thing that I always said, even though
I meant
world.
Really?
Yeah, I always said land. So
that's
just
cute.
You're like, I'm here. I made it.
I didn't really know Disneyland as a kid at all. Like, I just knew Walt Disney World. I don't even know if I really understood the meaning behind, like, where Walt Disney World started or anything. I just remember just, like, the world itself.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I didn't know where it started or who started. I didn't even know who Walt Disney was. I just knew Disneyland had a lot of stuff and it was fun.
But again, just take little breaks. Like Bruce said, it's better with a snack usually. 5, 10 minutes, 15, rest up. Just really get to know where you are for a minute. Maybe just take a moment to realize and think about what you saw earlier in the day. I know it's like Disneyland and vacations are like, to me, it's like, it's almost like seeing a movie for the first time.
Is the Disneyland Railroad a better place to take a break?
It is a good one.
Like, that's a great place to take a break. Even if you went there already, go to like, all right, I need a mid-afternoon break, get a snack, go sit on the Disneyland Railroad and just take a break.
I like that. I like taking a break on Main Street. There's a nice rocking chair on Main Street if you can grab it. It's usually not that hard. I find it harder to take a break on Main Street at Walt Disney World than I do in Disneyland. People are pretty much like, they don't linger like they do in Walt Disney World. Like, they sit on the chairs or the bench for a little bit and then they get up and they go. And it's kind of like, okay, I've had enough. I'm going to get going. So I find it a lot easier to find a bench or someplace to sit and recharge there. But yeah, you're right. Disneyland Railroad is great too. Love it. Well, that's going to do it. I'm sure there's going to be a part two episode about all the do's and don'ts of Disneyland. We have so much to share.
We got to do do's and don'ts of California Adventure.
That too. We have so much to talk about.
Disneyland Hotel, Grand California. There's so much to talk about. There is. You know what? If you want to do a couple things, check out Club UTM. That'd be cool.
Yes.
See Jared in there. You can hear his podcast. Maybe we'll share a little clips on here next time. Also, Unlocking the Magic Travel. We talked about that already. And if you want to join us, if you're first or second or third or 100th trip to Disneyland, you want to go with us?
Check it out.
We're doing our Adventures by Disney to Southern California Escape. It's a shorter one. It's a little more intimate because there's less people. It's probably going to be way more fun.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
It's going to be a great place. Go unlockingthemagic.com/ABD if you want to get a little bit more information about that.
All right. That's going to do it.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Connie, good job.
Thank you. Thank you very much. All right.
Thank you for thanking. Thanks for thanking of me.
You're welcome.
We'll see you next time.
Bye, everybody.